Lock and load. Oh, something's going fast here. We wired for sound here. This is amazing. Boom, there we are. Oh, if we have, obviously you're all coming forward at the end of the service to get it. If we had two plates on either side, then I would have four, two of the cup and two of the bread, and we could pass them out. We're going to have you come down the center aisle, and you're going to go back the other way. As I shared at the beginning, when we did this a couple 5 years ago, I can't remember now exactly, I had it in the middle, and my point was just that what we're going to talk about this morning, with the title of the message is, when you come together. In some cultures, they do it daily. Some cultures, denominations, if you will, they do it weekly. We do it monthly. Some people do it quarterly. And if you do the Passover, you do it yearly. And so we're going to talk a little about this. But what's fascinating is people's impressions of this table. And we come from many different stripes and colors and backgrounds here this morning. Many of us were brought up Catholic, not everybody. Some are higher church, you know, Methodist, Lutheran. Some low church, meaning not liturgical, not in the sense of low. Some no church. And some no church. Very good, Robert. Thank you. And so this you may have developed as you've come to our church then. You've developed your own impressions of what the communion is. And so some, oh great, another communion, boring service, you know, whatever. I've done this I was ordained in 84, started preaching around that time too. But I, at whatever Sunday it falls on, I don't change my message. This message was planned, but I don't change my message. But if it's communion Sunday, that's my last illustration. And I find it fascinating how I've never had to, whoops, it doesn't fit, no matter what I'm preaching. It just amazes me because this is so rich and so deep and so profound, and I run out of synonyms and my thesaurus runs dry. My thesaurus, I say it right now. Because this is so deep an element in our lives, and yet some of us, that's what Malachi says, they sniff at it. Another communion, you know, no big deal. What is a big deal? And I want you to learn as we go through this morning that I'm going to teach you where I get my rules for potlucks. Decades ago in galaxies far, far away, we used to do the potluck on the same day as communion, and it made for a long Sunday. So I'd split it. Plus, nobody figured out that was the agape feast. So we were doing agape feast the same time, and it just didn't fit. So, and part of it was my inability to connect the dots for everybody, but it was just okay, we're going to split these two. And it used to be the first Sunday of the month, then the second Sunday of the month, and third Sunday of the month, and it's rotated. It stayed on the third Sunday now, generally speaking. For various academic, administrative reasons, but nonetheless, this is if you want to use that phrase guardedly, it's a religious ceremony, and we use it guardedly, okay? Because this is something we do religiously, and it's a ceremony. And there, believe it or not, are some rules of properly presenting the communion. And if you've never looked at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, you need to turn there now. But we're going to discover in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 some really cool stuff that I would like to point out. That we need to recognize the two most essential reasons for communion. Now again, you can celebrate communion daily. Some churches do that. You can celebrate communion once a month, once a week. I was at a church not too long back where we just barely sat down and they're passing the plates around. Pastor gets there, it was a deacon, probably got up there and, okay, eat the bread, okay, drink the cup, okay, we're done. And I went, whoa. Now, being brought up Catholic, a little more reverence to this situation and going to a Baptist seminary didn't help any. But just there's a little more reverence here. Really, really what threw me for a curve because they did what I think this passage teaches not to do. Okay? Now, there are two extremes, and we want to come to the balance. So we're talking about the both and in Sunday school a lot. There's a balance here. And the two components we're going to look at is the real purpose and the unity of the body. So if you're already at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and there's a massive context to this. It goes back all the way to chapter 4, but we're going to look at chapter 5 in the long run. But I'm looking at verse 17, okay? And we're going to deal with some selfish purposes. In the following directives, I have no praise for you. For your meetings do more harm than good. The word meetings is when you come together in the Greek. That word's used five times in this passage. That your meetings do more harm than good. Verse 18, in the first place, I hear that when you come together, same word, as a church, there are divisions among you. There's schisms. Differences of opinion that are held very strongly. And to some extent, I like what Paul says, I believe it. Now, he's hearing gossip. Is he hearing gossip here? Yeah. Yeah, oh yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? And I like what verse 19 says, no doubt there must be heresies among you to show which of you has God's approval. The word for differences is, we get the word heretic. It doesn't mean that in this case. It just means differences, strong differences, okay? One is more emotional, one's logical. Verse 20, when you come together, it is not the Lord's Supper you eat. Oh, you call it the Lord's Supper, but it's not the Lord's Supper. For as you eat, each of you goes ahead without waiting for anyone else. Okay? Let's just pop there. Sorry about that. My shirt was changing my slide there. So, for example, in potlucks, people just rush to the table. That's why we have that rule, senior citizens and visitors and women with babies are first. Because people just rush without waiting for everybody, okay? One remains hungry, another gets drunk. How do you get drunk at a communion service? Answer? They used real wine. Oh, yeah. When I used to do Passovers for a Jewish ministry I was in, we'd go to some churches and apologize we weren't using wine. Because we were using grape juice. We didn't want anybody to get drunk. And I would go some places where I'd apologize for using wine. We only did it once, actually. Because the Jewish ministries, when you do Jewish ones, you better be doing wine because they don't want the grape juice, okay? So, but we don't generally apologize for that. But the fact is, they were using real wine because you can drink too much. Now, for me, I have to be careful. I snip a cap of wine, I go gonk bonkers. I go, ooh, get real lightheaded, you know? So I got to be careful with wine. I mean, I learned that the hard way. I won't share you my story about my result, but I'll be quiet. Anyway, moving on. So, all right. Don't you have homes to eat in? Verse 22 says, or do you despise the church of God? Whoa. And humiliate those who have nothing. What shall I say? Shall I praise you for this? Certainly not. So he's given them some really interesting reasons here. And oh, I lost my thing. That's what happened. All right. Bada bing. Are we there? Cool. All right. That's the big idea. We're here now. There, he deals with some selfish purposes. Now, none of you came here this morning with a selfish purpose. I know y'all, except for you, young lady, I haven't met yet. But y'all, I know y'all, and you're not here. Wow, I got a place to hand out from my multi-level marketing. I can hand out my flyers or my business. I can hand out my business cards. And there are people who go to churches for that very purpose. They're not there to worship God or to encourage brothers and sisters. They're there to get a gathering of people together. And none of you have that purpose. I would dare say none of you have a selfish purpose here. But what's sad is the Corinthians did, didn't they? The Corinthian church did. The Corinthian church had this problem that there were divisions among them. Some people used it as an opportunity for soapboxes and hobby horses. And that spawned denominations. And they fight over it. And in the old days, they burned people at the stake and dipped them in water and oil and all this kind of silly stuff. And here, it's just because we'd only do it once a month. And we don't believe it turns in the body of Jesus and the blood of Jesus. You know, they kill people for that. Ah! Well, no, we that's okay. You want to believe that? That's okay. We don't believe that here because I think that teaches what? Teaches cannibalism, doesn't it? Yeah. You have some, Sam?
Their communion.
Yeah.
Their idea of communion.
Yeah. And they may in their mind. That's their crutch. But Jesus, when he said, "This is my body," he was speaking metaphorically because the scriptures are clear against cannibalism. Plus, it's not magic. He didn't go hakus pakus and it changes. Okay, by the way, that's in the Mass. And so we got to be real careful here. I'm closer to the Lutherans. I think there's something more powerful in these elements. I had a friend, we were still in seminary at the time, and he was pastoring a church in Kansas, and he decided to step on the American flag. And then he decided to step on the elements. What was his point? He's trying to say, you care more about stepping on the American flag when these are more holy. He wasn't there much longer. Kansas is the heart of the American country. And so he, you know, I got his point, and he could have done it a little more differently and been sensitive to his culture. But the point is, these are not just symbols. Well, they're just symbols. No, there's something more profound here than that. And that's why we got to talk through this passage, because Paul's teaching us, even in an agape feast, which would be a potluck with the communion at the middle of it, or toward the end, like a Passover. And if you come to our Passover in March, you'll see one of them. We actually do a full Passover. and do that. But got to be real careful here, because there are people who blinked on me again. Okay, let's try this again here. I'll go faster. No, don't. All right. Is it way up here? Nope. Looking for the error server. Okay, go out of here. Find you again here. Got me? Is it something I said? All right, let's try this again now. All right. This is a cool, and we were talking about this inadvertently in Sunday, so I don't want to preach my sermon, though. In essentials, unity. I believe in at least five fundamentals. Right? Jesus died. He's the man, God-man. He died for our sins. He didn't just die. He rose again in how many days? 3 days later. He rose again from the dead. He was born of a virgin. If he wasn't born of a virgin, he wouldn't be sinless. There's some things you have to believe in, right? We're talking about either ors. You gotta have some essentials here, okay? In non-essentials, whether you come forward to receive communion or you receive it by somebody handing you the basket, is that essential? No. So what do we have? Liberty. Freedom. You can do whatever you want. Now, I believe in adult baptism because I believe it's the death, burial, and resurrection. But if you want to believe in sprinkling, it's something sprinkling of the blood, and that's your symbol, go for it. You know, you want to believe in pouring because the pouring of the Spirit, go for it. But I think it's baptism's really clear. It says baptizo, to dip, to immerse, right? But are we going to kill people over that? I would think not. So we have freedom and liberty, but charity in all things. And that's agape, the charity, love. Not this gooey, syrupy love, but the love that's willing to sacrifice and say, you know, I might be wrong, James chapter 3. And I don't have all the right answers. I think you said in Sunday school, we don't have all the right answers. We got to continue to seek the Lord's face in these things. And so when we're looking at these, there's going to be divisions among us. But that too, God will make clear to us. And we'll have to already attain. What passage is that? What verse? Who took notes this morning? Philippians chapter 3, 15 and 16. You need those two verses if you haven't written them down yet. Philippians 3, 15 and 16. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And if we disagree on any point, that too God will make clear to us. And I love what we've already attained in unity. Years and years ago, when I did a survey at Arizona State Campus, when I was the state director of the mission board I was with, the main problem the churches had was the hypocrisy. And it's the same problem today. Although I think the only place hypocrites do live is in the church, because you wouldn't be a hypocrite out at the work. You're a hypocrite at work. No, but anyway, my point is nonetheless, is we've got to live what we believe and believe what we live. It's called integrity. Just that simple. Okay? And so we want essentials, unity. That's why my brothers and sisters I work with in Mysterial Alliance, we believe in those essentials. And we have differences of how their style of service is run, what type of music, whether they have power instrumentation or non-power instrumentation, whether they have instrumentation at all, but charity in all things. Are we there yet, or we get popped out again? Okay, I'll try it one more time. I don't think I have anything important to show you guys, so I'll just tell you the answers. All right, am I on? Poof. All right, we got that one. Got this one. Okay. So we've got to deal with the selfish purposes of gorging or gluttony. Gluttony's not talked a lot about in the United States because it's a major problem. Even at my weight, I'm considered obese. And I'm embarrassed. I argued with the doctor for 2 hours, paid for it too, literally. Wait a second. What if I have big shoulders, you know, and I got a muscle mass? Well, it's just your weight versus your height ratio. So I'm short and stout. Pour me out. You know, okay. And it was embarrassing, okay. And so we've got to be real careful with this. But again, we went to smaller plates at potlucks now. If you notice, they're doing it at the few that remain. The all-you-can-eat places, Golden Corral and International Garden Buffet, they're going to smaller plates. It was fun to watch. So some next week, they're all different. You know, it's like, whoa. But again, in the church, we got to be careful because we got to let somebody. That's one reason I used to go last or first at a potluck. I either go last, make sure everybody has something, or I go first because they're sneezers. I won't get sick. Okay. So I go, that's what I do now. And since I'm a senior citizen, I'm officially, it's September, I'll be officially, but anyway. But I want you to see these things, that there's biblical purposes when you have potlucks and want to encourage each other, because we got to deal with selfish purposes for uniting as a body of Christ. Recognize the real purpose. Recognize the real purpose, okay? We are to remember Jesus. We are to proclaim his death, and we are to look for his coming. The purpose of communion in the early church, when they ate, they pretty much added communion, and they did probably use risen bread or yeast bread, although I doubt it. I think they used more like a pita bread or a matzot, which is what we use, but they did that there, okay? So pick it up. For what I received from the Lord personally, Paul says, verse 23, I pass on to you that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he did the barucha, he broke it, and he said, this is my body which is for you. He did not have his body broken for us. And I used to do that too. It's a false teaching, because Jesus' body was not broken. The bread was broken. Remember, not a bone was broken to fulfill prophecy. And then he says, do this, why? In remembrance of him. We're doing this to remember him. Why do we need to remember him? Because he died for us and we forget. Oh yeah. How many people, when they lose a loved one, go a couple, you know, first it's all, the loved one's always in their minds, and they're almost obsessed with this loved one passing. And then one day happens, and they, I didn't think about my passing my loved one. And then what do? They beat themselves up because they forgot. Right? And so we need to beat ourselves up. We forget about Jesus, right? No. He knows we're going to forget. He knows we're human. And so we do this as often as we do this, we remember him, right? And then what does it say? What else? To remember him, what's the next one? Proclaim what? Yeah, after the cup, he took the cup. And it's the cup of my New Testament blood, the new covenant, the Brit Chadasha, the remembrance of the blood. Remember, we talk about the Passover, it's the third cup. This is the cup of redemption. The first cup's the cup of praise. The second cup's the cup of judgment. The third cup is the cup of redemption. The fourth cup is the cup of taking. I forgot what it's called now. Elijah, cup of Elijah. Okay? And so here we got this. So he took the cup. For whenever we eat this bread, we drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death. That's pretty morbid. Uh-huh. Yeah, you can't separate those two, because really it's a threefold purpose. One without the other is pretty cheap. But we recognize the real purpose of this event is to remember him, remember what he did for us, that he died for us, remember that he's coming again. That gets you through the day, right? I like the sign in one of the nurseries years ago. It says, behold, we shall all be changed. Because if they're not, oh, what a stink, right? Yeah, play that one out. So we're all going to be resurrected. So we don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe he's resurrected from the dead. This is what this table reminds us. Okay? So the next part now is going to get a little harder, because it depends on where you come up theologically. And we're going to walk on a thin line here, but I'm going to teach what I think the Bible's teaching. So again, I will go to my next slide. I need it. I need this slide. Y'all need to see. This is a real cool saying. I even made it up even. So, this one here. You need this slide right here. Common union and communion. Isn't that cool? Write that down. Common union and communion. Verse 27. Therefore, whoever eats and drinks of the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sin against the body and blood of the Lord. Okay? Displaying the unity of the body here. We must respect these elements. They're not to be trifled with, okay? And I wish some people were here to hear this about their children, all the parents. Okay, you don't just let your kids handle these haphazardly, okay? And I'll explain why in a second here. Or I'll show you why, I don't have to explain it. Okay, so you want to make sure you're not sinning against the body and blood of Jesus. That's the elements, okay? And for those who are familiar with the Eucharist, it's actually a Greek word for thanksgiving. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about these elements here, the bread and the cup, okay? Verse 28, a man ought to examine himself before he eats and drinks the cup. So, do you respect the elements? Or do you trample on them like my friend tried to demonstrate? Verse 29, here's the hard one. Now, you need a both and here. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. What did I leave out? It is not in the Greek. In the earliest Greek manuscripts, it is not there. They added of the Lord. I'm convinced as you go into chapter 12, verse 12, the body is a unit made up of many parts, though all parts are many, they form one body. And then Paul goes on to develop the body. He's not talking about the elements here. He's talking about us-ins. If you don't recognize the body, you need to respect the elements and recognize the body, or you will what? What's the text say? You'll bring judgment on yourself. And that's why many of you are sick and some have fallen asleep. Is that what it says? Right? Let's read it. Verse 30. This is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number have fallen asleep. That's a euphemism for death. And what's sad is, it could be vicarious. You may be sick because somebody else doesn't respect the body. Whoops. Yeah. So, hard teaching, but I'm convinced that this is what the Lord wants us to learn, that we need to respect the elements and recognize the body. That's why at least once a month you get to realize, how do I feel about my brothers and sisters sitting the other aisle on the other side of the church auditorium or in the back row? Or what? Or another church, yeah. Yeah. This is important. This unites us. There's a common union and communion. And we may all celebrate at different times in different ways and use those stupid little cracker things, which I find offensive. But you know what? I have to love them too. Or I like the cute ones. I get these magazines, which has the little cup and the little one on top. So you get one unit. So you tear it off and eat the piece of bread. You tear it off again and drink the juice. And if you were Jewish, these little cups are nothing. At the Passover, we'd be drinking a whole cup. Fill it again. Oh, yeah. We don't get bent out of shape, but do we recognize the body of Christ where we eat and drink judgment on ourselves? And this is heavy. And this is what it says, right? Are you reading what I'm reading? Come under judgment. Verse 31. But if we judge ourselves, we will not come under judgment. Discern. What's my attitude? What's my attitude here? When we are judged by the Lord, we are being disciplined. So we will not be condemned with the rest of the world. So he's disciplining us, okay? And I like what he does here. So, then my brothers, verse 33, when you come together, that's the fourth time, wait for others. Wait. Now, let's not be like Chip and Dale. Oh, no, after you. Oh, no, after you. Oh, no. Somebody's got to go first. Okay? So, when you go to potluck, senior citizens go first, women with babies, and visitors get to go first. So go. And I've watched people do this. They'll all get in line and they'll step back. People get in line and they'll step back. It's fun to watch what people do. But that's okay. But if everybody was doing that, nobody'd be eating. So somebody's got to go first, okay? So if anyone is hungry, eat at home. And this is what happened. This happened 2 or 3 times last year and a half where I went last and there was nothing left. And I just smiled. Praise Jesus, I get to fast today, okay? All right? And I went home and ate. No big deal. I didn't get mad at everybody. How dare those college people not bring anything? No, I didn't think that. Someone else did, but I didn't. Okay? You got to be real careful with our attitudes because when we come together, we want to celebrate We want to celebrate the Lord's Supper. And then notice the end of it. I like what it says here. If anyone's hungry, eat at home so that when you meet together for the fifth and final time, it may not result in judgment. And when I come, I'll give you further instructions. The Lord's disciplining us because he wants us to be like him on earth. He wants us to be, if we love, what does the scripture say? If we love one another, what? All men will know you're my disciples if you have love one for another. Yeah. And this is such a hard teaching, I know. But it's heavy, and it's in the middle of Corinthians, and it's fascinating because chapter 5 says, keep the festival. It's adjusive. Keep the festival. I mean, keep the Passover. And then he gets over here to chapter 11 explaining how to keep the Passover. And then chapter 12 says, by the way, you're all body. Chapter 13, I'm going to show you the better way. What's chapter 13? Love. Right? And then chapter 14 is how to use your gifts in love. And chapters 15, 14 and 15 basically says accept one of them, accept the weak. Accept one of them just as Christ accepted you. Because there's differences. And then he goes on. Okay, building families here. We want to build families here who love the Lord Jesus. So simple one. Do not be quick to hand to or let your children handle the elements. Please pass this along. This is not a game. It isn't cute. I've gone almost as far as to let parents do a first communion thing. You know when your child gave their life to the Lord. You know how mature they are. So I'll let you decide. But if I read 1 Corinthians correctly, and we're not being good parents and making sure the children are respecting the elements and respecting the body, I'd be really cautious, okay? And I'd wait a little bit. Jesus point number two, pursuing our Lord Jesus. Do you respect the elements? And do you recognize the body of Christ? He had a real cool picture too, man. When I was in high school, something happened to me in eighth grade. It was kind of cool, actually. The Lord used it for my betterment, but at the time I thought it was devastating. I was apparently coming out of my shell, as my mother would say. And so I helped coach her another championship team, a softball team that she had. So we were at her party afterwards, and I was kind of talking to the girls, and the girls are still a little older than I was. They were high school, and I was in eighth grade. And so we're chatting and stuff, and she's over there watching me, and she says to everybody else, and she gets everybody's attention, look at that, look at that. A year ago, I couldn't get them to talk to girls, and I can't get them to shut up in front of everybody. So what did I accommodate? I shut up. So I didn't date in high school until my senior year, and I just shut down. And so that was one of my many things the Lord used in my life to protect me. But another one was I wasn't any clique. I was an athlete, and I was a geek or a nerd, okay? And so I didn't fit anywhere. So me and Tom Verber, Mark Hendricks created our own clique. Bob Kapp was a year younger, but we all hung together, four of us. And we did our thing, but I didn't fit anywhere. And I remember when I got in the NHS my junior year, National Honor Society, a friend comes up to me, I won't name his name because he'll probably listen to the sermon, but he says, oh, you know, you're really a nice guy. You know, I appreciate you being in here. Yeah, well, coming from you, that's a compliment. Thank you. Now, we'd grown up together. There were four of us Mikes growing up all these years, actually five, one moved away. And now we're in high school, and it's like, what is this, condescending? What, you know, I'm in all the classes you're in too, hello. But I was an athlete, so I didn't fit anywhere. And I did this once a number of years ago. Everybody who likes vanilla over here, and everybody who likes chocolate over here, Neapolitan over there, and butter pecan, you know. And what does that do to the church? Yeah, it starts to segregate the church. Yeah, watch people at a potluck, how they all sit, you know, just for fun. You sit with people you're comfortable with, right? But if you want to be a part of the body of Christ, you could reach out. Now, if you're doing it because you want to talk to so-and-so, was that the good Kermit the Frog there? So, with that being said, do I have one more point? Yes. Number three. I don't normally have three Jesus points, but this is living His Word. By the way, if you ever figured out, building families, pursuing the Lord Jesus Christ, living His Word are my pattern. I kind of collapsed the last two. As you come down the center aisle for communion this morning, we're going to do something. We're going to go do this again. I have them up here. Matter of fact, I already got mine. There's going to be up in the basket up here, there's going to be little cards, and it says, we're praying you personally come to know Jesus. And on the inside, you're going to have space for a person's name, okay? You're going to put that person's name in there. If you want to put two or three, that's cool. If you want, the old ones are in my office. And you fold this over for privacy, the HIPAA rules and the FIPAA rules and other rules we got to follow. And you tape it to the cross. So I already did mine this morning. I got this person's name here. And I'll bring these back here. And I got the tape in the table back here. And because I'm so self-conscious, I'll put mine off to the right of the cross because Jesus' right hand, right? So we got that right there, okay? And then that's my person we're praying for. Now we're going to do in the future, maybe once a month, maybe once, at least maybe once a month, once bi-monthly, we're going to bring the cross down here. We're going to pray for those people as a church. And I want to start praying. You know, we're going to focus our prayer on one or two people and get them saved, get them into the kingdom, and we'll go from there. So as you come to communion, two things you're looking at. One, well, First one is, you're ready to receive it. You come down the center aisle, and then you can go back to your seats, or you can go up to there first, and then put your cards up there, and then come back, and then get in line this way. So I will do the initial praying over all of it, and then we're going to participate privately. And I prayed a lot about this, and the Lord finally gave me freedom this morning. He said, well, how did I do it at the Passover? I said, you passed it around, and they ate individually. So as soon as they received it, they ate it. There's times we want to eat together, symbolically, and there's times when I do it individually. This morning, the Lord said to do it individually. Again, liberty in this non-essential moment here. So, this is the body of Jesus. It's the matzot. And if you've been familiar, I think somebody brought this up a couple weeks ago, you know, striped and pierced, as we read in Isaiah 53. And this is the cup of his blood. And I do apologize for our video thing. We're going to figure out what's going on here. So as you feel led, you may come forward at any moment, and we'll do this for a few minutes, and when everybody's participated, as I sense that. So what else, Lord? Anything else? No? Heavenly Father, I thank you for these wonderful people here. They've blessed me so richly the last couple months that just getting to know all of them more intimately. Father, I pray that this is a day that they realize the sacredness behind these elements. These are gospel elements. These are elements that remind us of your death, your burial, your resurrection, and your second coming. So, Father, we want to proclaim your son's death until he comes in glory. He did not stay in the grave, but he rose. And that resurrected power lives in each one of us, Lord, to transform us to be more like him. So, Father, pray for those who are struggling with respecting the elements and struggling with understanding and recognizing the body of Christ, that they will come to a place this morning that they'll receive the forgiveness that you offer them in this table. Oh, Father, thank you so much for the kindness you've afforded us, for that kindness has brought us to a place of repentance. So, Father, do as you will in each of our individual lives and as a body of Christ here at Valley Bible, in Jesus' name. Amen.